hold. I'm going to put you into the queue. Hang on a second.
Okay.
In the phone, I have as well John Duresh. Is that correct, sir? He's
That's
not there
correct.
Yet. Okay. Oh,
yeah,
that
yeah.
is correct. Okay,
That's
there you correct. Are. Can you hear us well?
I can hear well right now.
Okay, good. So we're here to talk today about, why don't you lead us into this, Michelle?
The common law grand jury.
Okay. And give me a little background on that.
Well, I'm one of the organizers for Navajo County here, and we're just filing the paperwork to be recognized. We had put it to the vote, and there's enough people in Navajo County that have decided that they would like to take back the power and have common law grand juries return. This is not exactly a new concept. It's new to us now, but several generations ago, it was alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And John can probably tell you a whole lot more about the whole history and the organization.
John, would you do that, please?
Yeah, sure. yeah, the process that we're really going through is reconstituting the common law grand jury. And the idea is, of course, grassroots, is to bring the power back to the people, the authority to the people. In the Declaration of Independence, it says that we have government by the consent of the people. And when we first learned about this common law grand jury and we started to read it, we started to realize this is where the people consent to their government. Because they have the authority and the duty to correct any wrongdoing, whether it be in the judicial realm or the political realm. So this is the way we can bind down our representatives with the change of the Constitution, as Jefferson has said. This is the place where we could bring our courts of injustice back to courts of justice. This is the place where we can require common law to return into our courtrooms and to get rid of the courts of fiction. And this is the process by which we could do it. Now, of course, there's going to be resistance because these people have been on their own too long and they've created a nice situation for them where they're earning a lot of money off the backs of the people by putting people in prison and punishing them and fining them and going through all processes. And, of course, that has allowed an out-of-control government to become out of control because there's nobody there preventing them anymore from going out of control. The judge controls the jury in the courtroom and tells them what the law is, where clearly the Constitution teaches us that we get to decide both facts and law. I know in New York Constitution it's very clear in Article 1, subsection, I think it's 9, of our Constitution. So that's really the big thing, is really bringing these people back under control. So when we discovered this power and the authority and how we can bring our courts back, take that brick and mortar back and bring it back to the people and bring it to the courts of justice, we now can also take control of the prosecutor and decide not to prosecute. We can nullify their desire when they come in with things that is not really a criminal action, like exercising your Second Amendment right. We'll nullify that just by not addressing it and not indicting. We also will be able to bring the sheriff back under the wing of the people and train and teach the sheriff what he needs to know under as far as the Constitution is concerned and how it trumps at any of the statutes and procedures that they have been taught. We then also have the ability for the states that have lost the militia, which is most of us. I know New York has lost the militia. We have the ability to bring the militia back and the armories and all these things. And so it's greatly, it's very powerful.
So, you know, I've been noticing, and one of the interesting things you just said there was about the fact that the judge literally tells to the jury, you know, what the law is and what the scope of everything is. I've noticed also in political realms.
By the way, that's called jury tampering. But go ahead.
Jury tampering. Okay. But I've also noticed that you know, if you look at board of directors and other things that have to do in city councils and things like that, that the information seems to be disseminated in a realm that sort of always goes the way that staff thinks maybe they envision it, and they don't really ever give the entire picture. And I've noticed that as a trend. And you know, recently having some conversations with people here about, you know, what do we do about how do we change the direction of the United States? And like, oh, yes, election, election, election. To me, the election is great. You know, it may put a new person in power, but if that staff that exists is still running the background and everything, the information that that new individual get will be, as you just said, tampered to a point that they're going to make the decisions that others want them to make.
Well, that's correct. That's correct. You know, when I got into this thing, one of the things that I perplexed with in the Declaration of Independence, because I started to look at the real law, the common law, and in the Declaration of Independence is we have government by the consent of the people. And I'm looking to say, well, okay, where are we going to find a place where the people actually make the consent? That they would have you to believe it's done in the voting box, but that's not possible. Our founding fathers, although we use a democratic system or process to elect certain elected officials, we also have people who are appointed. The Senate was supposed to have been really chosen by the legislators of the state, and of course that was changed, I think, by the 17th Amendment, and so, you know, they've spoiled part of that. But there's no solution in a political way when it gets into politics, and politics is all about creating statutes against the enemy, the right against the left and the left against the right. So they're putting each other in prison by controlling each other's behavior and creating more and more statutes, which is more and more prison bars.
Carl talked at this point that everything comes to standstill seemingly every 90 days, right?
Correct, yeah. But anyway, the power is not there, and we went looking for where does the people have the power. And some years back, we found the committeeman. And we found out that too was a fraud, that they had expunged the elected committeeman, and they have an imposter in there. It's a straw man, and it has no power. It's a top-down operation controlled by two private parties, one called the Democratic Party and the other the Republican Party, and it's communist in form because it's top-down. And if you step out of line and don't do the will of the party, those party leaders, then you're thrown out. And so we discovered the problems there, and we were trying to correct that in the courts, and that's what led us into the common law to start to pursue this procedure through common law and getting out of the fiction that they had created. And then, of course, we discovered the grand jury. So our founding fathers did not leave us helpless. They gave us two ways that the people can consent. One is through the elected committeeman, which will be reinstated once the grand jury comes in power. And the other, of course, the most powerful one, is from the king's bench, which is the king's bench is ultimately the grand jury. That's the king's bench. And that's where the king himself sits, and all of his judges, his tribunal, which is the people, okay, they represent the will of the king, and the king ultimately is the people, and so we represent the will of the people. And that's the process, that's common law, that's what our founding fathers intended, and when a judge gets out of line, we straighten him out with a prescription, and if he doesn't follow that prescription, then we remove him from office through indictment, and then we move to the next judge. Same thing with anybody anywhere in office. We tell our congressman that's going to Washington, for instance, we have 27 of them here in New York. We have two senators that we send to Washington, so we have 29 individuals. And we're going to let them know once we get empowered that when you go to Washington, you know, taking funny money from these special interest groups might be okay in Washington and may not be against the law there, but here we call it bribery. And right, you're out there to represent the will of the people, not special interest groups. So touch that money. When you come back here to New York at the border, we'll have the sheriff waiting for you because we're not going to tolerate it. We're going to incarcerate you. We're going to indict you, and we're going to remove you from office. And so that's the power. That's huge power. That's huge, huge power. And that's the power of the people. It's up to them. Only the people can save America. We are so close to being lost. We have so many foreign troops on our soil. They have been dispatched across the country as of October 3rd of this year. We've had 386,000, that's the report anyway, but it's more than that, I hear, 386,000 foreign troops on American soil as of October 2nd. And on October 3rd, they have been dispatched across this country, and they are mobilizing everywhere. We have unconstitutional zones around the perimeter of our country for 100 miles in off of, I think it's 100 miles in, but it's quite a few anyway, off of our borders, right? And And the people don't even realize or understand what's happening. We have the FEMA camps that are being manned as we speak. The lights have been coming on since 2010. They're taking applications for people to work in these FEMA camps. What the hell is that all about? You know, so we have FEMA camps, foreign troops, and they're trying to take our guns. And I think it's time for the people to wake up and smell the coffee because we're in trouble.
Obviously. So we've got a little bit of a break here. So we're going to go to the news and tackle the old list, about 6 minutes, 22 seconds. And then I'd like to come back to you and really dial down into the process of the grand jury, the common law grand jury, actually existing, and then what you're proposing as a replacement. So hang out with us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. So, like I said, it's about a 6-minute deal here.
Okay.
And then we come back, and then we have another break that's actually longer, and you can drop out when we go to the next break, it's like a 13:58. You can drop out of that, and Michelle and I can wrap here if that's good with you.
Yeah, however you want to do it, that's fine.
Okay. What I'd like to do is literally talk as simplistic as possible about what a grand jury does today, and then what a common law grand jury would do if it replaces or when it replaces.
Right. Yeah. You. For your understanding, there are two grand juries. One is a corporate grand jury, and one is a constitutional grand jury. Our courts are operating under corporate charter, not constitution.
Right.
And that's the key. That's what's going on, and that's the problem. And when you expose that in court, they get very nervous because now their flesh is on the line.
Well, just locally, I got to tell you, I went to a city council meeting the other night. It was about photo enforcement, and the council had asked for data regarding traffic counts, and then you know what happened as far as tracking traffic counts and collisions, and because they were saying that the collisions were going down because of this, so they gave them 4 years of data of the traffic. The times of the camera in place, and 1 year in, the last year before they added the camera. Then I stood up and went, where's the other 3 years? If you're going to do 4 years, compare 4 years to 4 years. And all of a sudden the staff started whispering at each other and everything, and I'm like, you know, it's very easy to make something pass when you only give people a certain amount of information. And that was what struck me about what you said about the juries and the jury.
Right. Yeah, the key thing is that the judge controls the jury in the courtroom, and the prosecutor controls the jury as outside of the courtroom as the grand jury. So they're both puppet grand juries. They're there only for an appearance. It's a facade. And the people coming in are totally ignorant to this. They have no clue, so they need to be told what to do, and they believe. And so they follow their rule books and they have no real true authority. They ultimately are doing the will of the prosecutor and they're doing the will of the judge because that's how it ends up. And that's why we have so many people in jail. We have more people in jail in America than any other place. And our jails need to be emptied because there's people in there that just don't belong in there. And of course, there are criminals. We don't want to empty them out, but we need to get a lot of people out, let me tell you.
Our police focus on a lot of things that have absolutely nothing to do with criminal behavior.
Well, they focus in on the corporate needs and desire because, remember, all police departments are corporation police. They work for a municipality, a corporation, and that's a private industry. What you got to understand is that we've moved to corporatism, which is synonymous with Nazism. Same thing if you look it up in the dictionary. Nazism is corporatism. And all of our government agencies have been incorporated, and that's what they're acting under a corporate charter. And the only real cop in the entire state is the sheriff. He's an elected individual with the ability to deputize. And so that's the power. That's the guy. And I think the FBI has authority, even though they didn't come out of the Constitution. It was a needed process. And the FBI was a good police force for quite some time, and they were fighting these enemy from within back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And then they've been totally destroyed, especially when the Homeland Security came in and they've been put under suppression. And they're not too happy about it. A lot of the old timers, they know what's going on. And they know that the enemy has breached our doors, our gates, and that they're in operating, and they're powerless to do anything. You got a lot of the young guys that are coming into the FBI, and maybe they're being distorted. But maybe some of the old-timers are taking the younger guys under the wing and hopefully bringing them the right way,
A lot of accountants, just accounting and money following.
Everything is money. It's all about money.
Yeah. They follow that and don't really worry about any of the real stuff that might get anybody else in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I had your mic off, sorry. You're going to say something.
That's okay, I'm just laughing.
It's interesting. Our thing here locally is to get it back, power back to people that look eye to eye and face to face.
Right.
Instead of dealing with things over the web, over, media, it's get back to people with people. And that was my main call on the whole photo enforcement was, you're removing the ability for police officers to be able to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
To stop somebody for maybe a traffic infraction and find out other things that are going on that are affecting our community. So, okay, I got about a minute out. I'm just going to go back.
Okay.
Dark for
sure.
A little bit, and we'll be back to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Being at work.
No, it's good. And on the phone, I have John Duresh. How are you, sir?
How you doing?
Good. So I wanted to delve a little bit further into grand jury versus common law grand jury. How are people selected onto a grand jury, just so people know, today? Who picks the people on a grand jury?
Right. Yeah, there is a they usually go off of either the driver's registration list or they'll go off of the voter's registration. And they will get people and they will do a psychological screening on them. Obviously, they're trying to control the jury because they want the jury to be obedient to the judge and the prosecutor. So they'll get the right psychological makeup of these individuals, and then they'll bring them in and impanel them, and then they'll be screened a second time, usually through the lawyers, and then eventually end up with a grand jury that normally is obedient, that knows nothing about what they're really doing, but only what they're told to do, and that's what they do because they don't know any better. We've all been duped by that, by lack of education, all of us. And I was totally ignorant to the grand jury and what their real authority and powers were. So that's what they do. So when they get it into when a prosecutor gets a hold of a grand jury, he leads them around by the ring and the nose, so to speak, and tells them what to do, and they're pretty much obedient to that. And he explains the law and says this is this, that, and the other thing, and you got to do this and you got to do that, and they do it. When they get into court, the judge does the same thing.
You've had parts where I've been brought in to be part of a grand jury, I've been part to bring in to be part of a regular jury, and every single time I've ever gone, it's been about six times so far in my life, I've been dismissed, and they don't have me here.
Right, I've never been called. So I know. They don't want people like us that can think and make a decision. And they always ask you concerning, this idea of nullification, that they have to obey the law, and they're looking to see if you're a person that might bring in nullification. So
they're
very careful of that. So they control the whole process, and that is the puppet grand jury. Now, we chose, when we decided to bring this thing together and to bring the people back into power through the grand jury, this is a grassroots movement. There is no top-down control structure. The only thing coming from the top down is education. That's it. Nothing more. No control, no direction, and structure. We show them the structure. But they got to figure it out. It boils down to 25 people in a room in their county deciding on what to do, acting off the principles that we teach, which is to act off of the idea of a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And every decision, if they're made under those three principles, you'll be able to sleep that night. And we also have two maxims that are common law maxims that we are guided by. The first one is for in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. No injured party, no crime, and the state cannot be the injured party. That's maxim number one. So if there is no injured party, there is no crime. Exercising your Second Amendment is not a crime.
Right.
The second one is for every injury, there must be a remedy. So the purpose of the grand jury is to reinstate the injured party, not to enrich the state and the judge and the lawyers and everything, that they're all making money off of this. But the injured party is usually taken in as a witness in their own case and then thrown out and forgotten, and they never get restored. In common law, the whole focus of justice is restoring that individual. So there's biblical principles, for instance, that we use, that our founding fathers used, and you'll find it through history. And for instance, if you steal a man's ox, you got to give him seven back. if you get caught. Well, if someone steals $1,000 off you, we want that person to repay back seven times. That's what God says. So, hey, that seems right, and it usually brings at least a restoration of some kind towards the injured party.
Or we could just move back to Hammurabi's law, which is, you know, if you steal something, we cut your hand off, right?
Well, that's pretty stiff. Well, the whole idea is also not only restitution to the injured party, but hopefully to bring the violator back into society to see eventually their wrongdoing, to truly pay, a repentance or a recompense back to the person. But the thing is, at some point at the end of their punishment, they're now received back into society and hopefully will become a productive citizen or an individual within society and work with the people. Who knows? By this, we not only may bring someone back into society, but maybe a soul could be saved. But the thing is bringing righteousness and bringing justice back into control of we the people.
Okay, so how would people be selected for a common law?
Well, a common law, what we're doing here is we're forming the administrative process of the common law grand juries. You get a lot of people that'll get involved, and out of those people, four people will eventually rise to a position because they're studying, getting to know the common law, the procedures in the court process, and they've got the time to put into this, and this will be paid positions where four people for each county become the administrators of the grand jury. Right now, the court is administrating it, and so is the prosecutor. And so they've already been budgeted for that, and it needs to be budgeted back to the people who will then take control of the administration. So four individuals will become the administrators, and it'll be up to them to impanel the grand jury, to impanel the trial juries, to take them through an orientation. We cannot reject anyone that comes in because they're the people. Now, in the process, for instance, within the grand jury, if there's someone who does not abide by the principles that we just spoke about, and the two common law, ideas that we brought up, if they don't want to hold up to those maxims, then the other 24 can say, hey, you're not operating under the right terms that we have, which is justice. And if they don't change their ways and obey, the 24 can push that one out and act as and continue with 24 instead of 25 and so on. So that's a way that it's protected. But it actually comes out from the people. We are building a registry right now nationwide, which we would draw upon. But we would also draw upon the voters' registration, probably is a way to go. I don't think we'd mess with the licenses, but the voters' registration and the registry, we're building plenty of people to draw upon. It'll always be a fresh jury. None of the people sitting on a grand jury for any particular case or none of the administrators that are investigating these problems and bringing them to the grand jury, those people cannot sit on the trial jury because right. They've already got an impression of the case. So that has to come fresh from the public. Now, the four people who also do the investigation, they're the administrators. They might visit an office and look through computers and talk to people, find a problem, write a prescription. They may not follow the prescription, so then they take it to the 25. And those four can become part of the 25, so they don't need to get 21. Or maybe only one of those four might participate, or maybe none of them. They may not have the time to participate because they're busy investigating other things. But this is truly being brought back to the people. And the first order of business is to orientate the individual when they come in. So we have like a four-hour orientation plan that we're putting together, which will show them what liberty really is and what a crime really is and what the fiction that we've been battling against and what common law is all about and so on. So they have all the tools to go in and then judge the facts and the law.
So let me boil this down to about as simple as I can.
Right.
What common law grand jury is going to do is basically reinstall another check in the check and balance system that allows us to understand that justice is being served. Yes?
That's pretty much it, but it's much bigger than that. And this is a huge statement that I'm going to make right now. We are going to reset the political and judicial clocks back to 1789, which is when our Constitution was first installed in this country and we became an actual country under a Constitution. We're going back to that day, and we have the opportunity to work from that day forward with hindsight and experience of what has happened, never to allow it to happen again.
What does the Bar Association think about this?
Oh, they, I'm sure they hate our guts. I know they do. We battle the judges and the lawyers all the time, and we're totally opposite. They're in fiction, we're in reality. And so they live in fantasy world, and they don't like to look at the reality of things. And when they start to look at justice, of course, they're going to start realizing they need to be judged by someone, because they're performing criminal activities every day. When I first went into the courts, I always knew there'd be corruption. I never anticipated that everybody was corrupt. I'm sure there might be a few here or there. I just haven't met them yet. And I've been in a lot of court cases. I've argued cases in the Supreme Court, the appellate court. We've been through town courts, city courts. We've been to the federal courts, family courts. And we've been to all of them. And there, they are evil. The whole system is set up on evil. These people are corrupt, and it's all about money. It's a wink and a handshake, you know, wink and a nod and a handshake.
There's a saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So
that's what they've got. They've got absolute power at this moment.
And you know, originally, when everything was set up and they asked Washington, you know, to repeat as president, he said no. And mm-hmm. he set down that as a dictate of something that, you know, it should be you serve and then you step away. And
exactly.
I think that got applied, you know, sort of to the rest of the elected officials. But I think where it got lost was in those background positions that aren't the politicians.
Right.
They're the career people that run everything behind the scenes that have been put in power and put in place and then just stay there and are unchecked.
Well, that's correct. And if the people step up, look, only the people can save America. Don't think you can hire someone to do it by electing somebody or something. It's not going to happen. We're going to lose America unless the people step up to save it. So only the people can save America. And that's what we, the people, have got to do. We've got to step up and save it. And not only do we need to save it through the grand jury, but eventually we need to take back, of course, the committee man process. And we need to take it back there, too. And through the committee man process, they have the ability. We don't need a law to require people only to have two terms. That seems to be about right. They shouldn't have it any more than two terms. Or someone that's making a living out of this and making a lot of money because they run for this for two terms and that for two terms. And that, hey, go find a real job. You know, serve two terms and move on. The committee men can do that. And they have the authority and the ability to not support anybody and put them onto the ballot. And then it's an uphill battle for anyone to get onto the ballot if the committee men don't support them. So we, the people, have this power and authority, both in the political and the judicial realms. They only need to learn about it. You go to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Let me repeat that, nationallibertyalliance.org. And we will teach you how to get judicial power and political power without the politics and without the BS. We want justice in our courts.
We'll put nationallibertyalliance.com. We're going to put that
.org.
.org, sorry.
Right.
Thank you.
But you can get there on .com too, but
yeah,
.org is
on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/kvslradio.com.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, John. You brought up some very interesting points. I think anything that gives power to the people is definitely positive. I can't see, you know, why anyone in the United States of America would have an issue
right.
with
yeah.
individuals stepping up and be able to do civic duty. So
right.
kudos to that. Anything that removes and offsets power with commonality is good. I mean, obviously it shouldn't go down to single individuals, but you spread this upon the masses. And you know, we're supposed to be, you know, a representative government or a republic.
Exactly. Every community should have their grand jury from the people within that community.
Agreed. So thank you for your time. We're gonna
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.